Church, it's great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services. And if you have been visiting with us or you're visiting with us for the very first time, please know that you are indeed special to us. And I am very thankful for you and very thankful for those who may be visiting with us online as well. But today, before we get into our lesson, I do want you to add someone to your prayer list. George had received a message just a bit ago that Oksana Pazzi, that is Vlad and Oksana, they are the ministers over and wife over in Ukraine. Her father passed away. So if you will remember Oksana in your prayers and the Pazzi family. We've got a long list of prayer lists, and certainly we want to keep praying for them, but I'm thankful to be here today. Today's been a great day already, and I am looking forward to now presenting this lesson to you and challenging us to be loyal to God. I brought this up here, and Justin had some big eyes when I brought it up here. I don't know if he was worried it was going to fall off or Terry was just going to take the money. But this is what signifies children's contribution. I don't know how much money's in there, and I don't know how many weeks has gone by, but let me just tell you that, speaking of loyalty, I can always depend, whether it's out of their piggy bank or out of their mama and daddy's wallet. I don't really care. By the way, God doesn't either. It's all His. The children will come up here with cheer, and I know you've heard this said plenty of times by ninth man. I don't get to be the ninth man, so much. But anyhow, They're going to always come up here and put that money in. They, I think, enjoy being able to come up and do that. Now, you may think, well, they enjoy jumping off the stage. That's why they do it. Well, that's just a bonus, right? But the point I'm trying to tell you is this. Thursday, I've seen this happen a lot. But for some reason, it hit me really strongly Thursday. I looked over after coming down the hallway at this bench right here by this exit. And on that bench were bags. It was as wide as the bench and six rows tall. I took a picture of it. And I want to thank our outdoor Bible children and Tina and everybody who put those together. Because if you think this is a big deal, those babies being able to have something to eat on the weekend is a lot bigger. They're depending on that food. They're depending on those bags. I'd love to tell you there are not deadbeat parents around here, but there are a lot of deadbeat parents. And that food has to be something those kids can take and cook themselves, because their parents may not even be sober the whole weekend. And it was so many bags. And I thought about how many children depend on that. And then I thought about the loyalty of our little ones who come up and put that money in every Sunday. And I just thought about loyalty. And I thought about us. And I thought about them. And then, you know, of course, that takes my mind to a lot of places. And when I look around here, folks, I see a lot of loyal people. People that have been loyal to me, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that at 21 years old, in 1999, there was a group of elders here that took a shot on a guy that was not ready for that job. I'm thankful that through all the times that I have failed, that this church and this eldership has been loyal to me and has been loyal to my family, loyal to us when we walked through fertility issues for 7 years. And I'd come up and announce, so-and-so's expecting, and everybody would say, I thought it was going to be y'all. And the way you treated my children when they came into this world and still treat them. Loyal to me, to our family, to this church. I can depend on Ken Murphy being able to come up and lead a beautiful prayer, if to be able to make sure that a lot of people in this area has food to eat every month. I can depend on our elders. There have been times when I have had heartache and I have been knocked down. And I'd love to tell you every day has been peachy keen in those 20 plus years here. But I have had moments when I have been knocked down on my face and just on the ground. And I've had a group of elders rally around me. And I've been under a lot of elderships. And I'm very fond of this one. But they've all picked me up and been there. Men like Conrad Carpenter, who, you know, just a few weeks ago comes forward saying he wants to do better. But I can depend on that man to make phone calls. And he's going to call people, and he's going to know, and he's going to check. And I could go on and on with that. His sweet wife. You know, I can depend on a Kent Wilkerson coming up here and being so prepared, taking it so serious to point out the importance of what Jesus Christ has done, to remind us of where we need to be during this time. You know, and I could go around this room, and I could keep on talking about people that have been there for me and will continue to be there. And I could literally say something about every one of you. So why preach a sermon on loyalty? I believe with all my heart, God desires all of us. And He desires our loyalty. In fact, in the very first commandment, when Moses went up, not once but twice on that mountain, it didn't change. He said to Moses, and he penned the words on those tablets, "They shall have no other gods before me." You know what he said? He said, "I want your loyalty. I want your heart. I want your soul. I want your mind, your strength, your all. I want you to depend on me like those babies at J.E. Turner, depend on that food. Like a newborn baby depends on that milk. I want you to want me that much." And quite frankly, folks, I've got room to grow. And chances are today you have room to grow. Because there are a lot of things, and Kent did a great job pointing out, vying for our mind. You see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. What we wrestle against is out of this world. It's in the supernatural. It's a council that's saying, "Hey, throw this at him, throw that at him, throw this at him, throw that at him." And oftentimes they hit us right between the eyes. George told us that in his testimony this morning. And there's a lot of things vying for your loyalty today. And I want us to elevate our loyalty. God wants us to elevate our loyalty. And so as we journey through this sermon today, maybe you got some heroes in this room. I certainly do. And by the way, I just scraped the top of the iceberg to how many heroes I have in this room. My mom's in this room, you know. If I preach a bad sermon and you know, I can. I'm very capable of preaching a bad sermon. She's always going to be my biggest fan. There are so many people out there that you're loyal, and I appreciate you, but I want to challenge us all today. Whether we're watching online or we're sitting in this room, I want to challenge us to be loyal to God Almighty and loyal to His church. I know the devil has thrown everything our way. I know he is trying his hardest to divide God's people. To divide them not inside the church, but to leave the church. To not be there. And by the way, there are some watching online today that want to be here so bad. But quite frankly, I think there are some that just don't care. Church is an afterthought. It's a convenience. You know, if I feel bad enough, I'll be there. If I hurt bad enough, I'll be there. But I want you to know, folks, God from the beginning desired our all. And that's what loyalty is about. Think of how loyal He is to us. Think about how much, as Kent pointed out, 70 times sevens we need for God to still forgive us. Loyalty is a virtue. Loyalty should seek to honor God. Loyalty should value relationships. And we need to understand that once we're loyal, God will reward our faithfulness. Loyalty is to be faithful. Loyalty is to stick to a commitment. But unfortunately, loyalty is losing its appeal today. People do not see it as necessarily a good thing. Take, for instance, marriages. There are a lot of marriages, and I'm not talking about here, but a lot of marriages in this world today that are breaking up. In fact, there are a lot of people today not even getting married because they don't believe they can stay together forever. You see, that to me is a sad thing, because I want you to know, I know it's cliche and you're supposed to say it. You probably can tell, am not a big gush over birthday. If you do, I'm not, no judgment. Judgment free zone for me, but please don't judge me either. I love my wife and she loves me, but I don't get into all the "you're the greatest thing since sliced bread" on Facebook. But when I say that to say this, I'm going to be a little mushy right now. I know it's cliche to say it, but she is my best friend. I've got a lot of great friends, but she's the one who knows me. She's the one who loves me warts and all. She's the one who's there for me when I've had my lowest lows and I've quit a bunch of times in my mind. Or I've had another job opportunity and I'm like, let's explore it. And she said, uh-uh. Y'all need to thank her if I've had any worth being here. But my point behind it is this. As much as I love being married to her and her being my best friend, I can't imagine not being loyal to her. But it's happening, isn't it? In this world, people are losing that commitment. Families are breaking up. It carries over into the workforce. Dangle a new carrot out in front of us, and we got to chase it. Unfortunately, it carries over in the church too. Well, that preacher, he said some things I don't like. Or maybe I just don't like him. Or maybe I don't like the color of the carpet. Or maybe I don't like the whatever the song leader's singing. Or maybe I just don't like because, you know what? I withdrew from the church. 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 And I never deposited. And now I'm mad at the church. You see, that happens, unfortunately. My job today is to challenge everybody that's tuned in to not let that be us. To not let that be somebody who lets another person affect their salvation. Who lets another thing, minute thing, affect our salvation. Do not let anything come between you and God and your relationship with Him and the church. I want us to put up a barrier today, and that barrier is called loyalty. I want us to have that stickability, if you will. Because stickability is what is lacking today. Some are wanting to get out of a relationship or get out of the situation the moment the pressure is on or the moment things have changed. Recently, I was up at Faulkner University and I encountered some folks that were younger than me, a lot younger than me. And we were just talking about jobs and situations. And I told them that I have been serving. They said, "How long have you been at Azalea City?" I said, "Over 22 years. Isn't that crazy? Over 22 years. I know I don't look that old, so. This person was surprised that I had stayed so long. They said, over 20 years? That you must have run out of stories to tell, illustrations to share, or things to say in your sermons. I can't imagine preaching to the same crowd over 20 years. See, the reason they said that is if I moved somewhere else, I could just re-preach all my sermons, right? Well, I responded this, and I hope this will mean something to you, church. When you love where you are, and you are loved where you are, that's when loyalty reigns supreme. You see, I want to be here because I'm loved here, because I can serve here, because I love here. So that's why it hurts so bad when some just leave it. I just can't understand it. Just can't fathom it. Why? Why would you not want to be here? The only solution I have is because they've lost their loyalty. They've lost their desire. They've lost their relationship with God. What is loyalty? Loyalty, I guess, literally means to stay devoted or faithful to a person or a cause. Biblically speaking, I think we can define it this way. Loyalty is to stay faithful because it is the right thing, a good thing, and the godly thing. You see this in the lives of many Bible characters. What about Job? You know, again, I told you we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Job was wrestling against those powers. Those powers that were against him. Those powers that were going to throw everything in his path to destroy his relationship with God. And you think they didn't throw everything? They threw away his children. Those powers took the lives of his children. Took the lives of his finances. Took the health of his body. Well, you may say, hey, well, he didn't take his wife, so he still had that. He had his best friend, right? Well, she was encouraging him to curse God and die. Job, yeah, he regretted the day he was born. Yeah, he questioned why this was going on, why he was in this situation. I believe he was as depressed can be. But at the end of the day, you know who he didn't curse? God Almighty. Because he was loyal. And he built that wall of protection that nothing could ever separate him from the love of God. Abraham chose not to question God when challenged to offer up his son Isaac. He remained devoted to God above everything else to the point that he took the dagger. And he was going to do it. Can you imagine Isaac? We don't talk about Isaac a lot. Can you imagine it from his perspective? Saying, Dad, what are you doing? Why are you doing this, Dad? You don't have to do it, Dad. And Abraham just saying, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. And of course he did. Joseph, betrayed by his brothers. You agree with me, don't you, baby? Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, he suffered. He was wrongly accused. He was put in prison. But he didn't complain. He didn't doubt God. Daniel refused to bow to the king despite the threat of being thrown in the lion's den. He stayed loyal to God. Today, though, the Bible character I'm going to walk you down isn't any of them. Today, it comes from the book of Ruth. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. There are only two books of the Bible named after women, Ruth and Esther. But both tell the stories of brave and faithful and loyal women. And today we're going to draw our lessons from this great book. Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Let's read it together. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Epaphrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech died. Naomi's husband died. And she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she, that's Naomi, saw that she, Ruth, was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. This story takes place during the time of the judges. A lot of scholars will tell you it's probably during Gideon's reign. A family of four, father, mother, and two sons, they leave Judah, their homeland. Why? Because there wasn't any food. There was a famine. And they go to Moab. Now remember, there's only one nation that serves Yahweh. The rest serve other gods. That's why he said to his people, "No other gods before me." So when they leave Judah, they're leaving a place of worship to Yahweh. But they're so hungry and they're so much destitute that they go to a place where Yahweh is not the God of choice. They go to Moab. The two sons then fall in love with two ladies that do not worship Yahweh. But they get married. And they bring them into their family. Not long, of course, in all of this, Elimelech died. And 10 years later, the two sons also died. It's a sad story, really. It's a very sad beginning in this story. It leaves the women behind. Now here's Naomi, a widow with no man in the family. Now that was a huge deal in that day and time. Naomi lost all standing in society. Being in a foreign land made it even more challenging. So when she heard of news of harvest back home in Judah, you know what she said? She said, I got to go home. So Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, go back, return to your mother's house. You'll be better off there. You can even sense Naomi's attempts to try to convince them that she says, hey, I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing that I can give you, nothing that I can do for you, nothing that I can provide for you, no security, no anything. After a lot of tears and a lot of convincing, Orpah says, okay, I'm going back to my mom's house. But not Ruth. Ruth clung. She said, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you. Why? Why would Ruth stay? To give you the clear-cut biblical answer, I don't have it. But I've got a good hunch. You see, both the daughters-in-law and Naomi hurt. They wept badly. So it wasn't for a lack of love on Orpah's side. She loved Naomi. She had been faithful to her husband, Naomi's son. And both Ruth and Naomi knew there really wasn't anything that Naomi could do for them. Despite the difficulties, they had been together now for quite a while. So what tipped the balance for Ruth? I suggest to you today that she had already made a pre-decision. And it had a lot to do with Naomi's God. At least that's what we gather from what she said. She said, your God will be my God. She's saying, God forbid, your God, Yahweh forbid, that if I leave you or forsake you, let Him punish me if I don't do anything but stick to your side. It has nothing to do, Ruth, it has nothing to do with what she can get out of it. It had everything to do with what she could give to it. Number one, when it comes to loyalty, you want to build a wall or hedge or protection around your heart and your body and your soul and your life that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, God. Again, it wasn't just staying with Naomi. It was staying with what Naomi had. Naomi had God. Naomi had Yahweh. Naomi didn't have some false God that could not help her. She had the true living God. Despite the hard times, despite the heartaches, despite the storms that had brewed in their lives, she said, I am going with you because I'm going with your God. You want to build that kind of loyalty wall today? Then the first thing we got to understand is it's all about honoring God. Loyalty is driven by a desire to honor God, to do the good thing, to do the right thing, to do the godly thing, the will of God. By now in the story, Ruth certainly has gotten to know Israel's God. And she's gotten to know Israel's God through the example of Naomi. What did Naomi do? I imagine she prayed a lot. I imagine she might have even had a psalm or two on her heart. I imagine in those low times, she reminded them of things like not being able to give up on God. That no matter what, He's going to take care of us. We're going to praise Him. And that kind of stuff rubbed off on Ruth. You had to know that it did. She's learned about Yahweh through Naomi's loyalty. Now think about what they've been through. Naomi and Elimelech, they left a place that was with a famine. A place that God was supposed to be blessing. Now remember, Judges, things would be good for a while and bad for a while. Good, it was an ebb and flow roller coaster, right? But at the end of the day, they stayed loyal to God. And somewhere along the way, those two boys stayed loyal to God. And Ruth is starting to catch on. You see, it's not about choosing the easiest path. There are a lot of people in society, hey, I get tired of being married to this person, I'll go find somebody else. You know, we get tired of this job, I'm just going to quit it and walk away, I'll go find something else. We get tired of this church, you see how it works, right? That's how being unloyal works. Undevoted works. It's not about choosing the easiest path, taking the least painful option, or avoiding at all costs the most difficult. No, it's about following God's lead. Loyalty is our willingness to stay devoted to God's lead. Ruth was obeying God's call for her life. She is not just sticking to Naomi. She's sticking to Naomi's God. The rest of her story, Ruth, that is, it's in the rest of this book. You know what it tells us? That Ruth made the right choice. God did provide for them, particularly for Ruth herself, in amazing ways. By Ruth choosing to honor God, number one, she found a righteous man named Boaz, who happened to be a relative of her late father-in-law. And she started a new family. She had a son. And her son became the grandfather of King David. David was her great-grandson. And Jesus Christ came through David's lineage. Ruth and her family brought a blessing into this world. And she got her name and her life recorded in this book all because she decided to stay loyal and honor God. Number two this morning. I want to build that wall of loyalty, that protection hedge of loyalty. I need to understand that loyalty values the relationship. Common sense, right? Common sense pointed towards Ruth going home to Moab. Going back to her mom, her dad, whoever was alive. Those options were better in Moab than living as a foreigner in Israel with Naomi. But Ruth's reply was a declaration of love. You know, a lot of times we read those vows in a wedding. But it wasn't said about a husband and wife. It was said about a daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. Ruth was not looking out at her own interests, what was best for her. But she was looking to the interests of the others. Isn't that how Paul described Christ in Philippians 2? He had it all, right? He had heaven. He had a relationship with God. He was on a throne. He was reigning supreme. And he gave it all up. He made himself of no reputation. Why? So that he could be loyal to us. If Ruth had cared for her own interests, she'd have gotten married. settled down, been financially stable, and have a more certain future right there in Moab. She could have gone back and done all that. But her desire was to be with Naomi, the one who could give her no security and no future, because she wanted to preserve something very valuable, the value of that relationship. She wanted to share a future together with Naomi, not separate. Many today give up on relationships, and they give up on them too easily for lesser things like wealth, pleasure, freedom, career, or even other gods. You got to ask yourself this: how important is my relationship to God today? You see, I can't answer that question for you. I'd like to give you the answers, and I can give you how important that should be, but I can't answer it for you. How important is your relationship to God? Do you look at it as important? Do you look at it as something you value? Certainly there's some value to it, or you wouldn't be here. But do we really value it? You see, loyalty gives a high premium to the relationship. Ruth valued the relationship above all else. She chose to bless rather than to be blessed. That's like Jesus, who came to serve and not to be served. Maybe Ruth's way of feeling blessed is to bless. God blesses those who bless others. You see, loyalty, it is something that it's a dying breed, if you will. It's dying out. It's something that we certainly as a church have to put value on, or the world is not going to value it. People will look at us and say, why would you do that? Why would you care about that church? Why would you why would you give your money there? Man, you can have this car or this house or this boat or this hunting place or this whatever. But you understand the value of the relationship. You understand that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Loyalty is God's trademark. God values His relationship with you so much so that He gave up His own Son. God is faithful even when we are faithless. God makes a pledge and He keeps it. He makes the covenant and He sticks to it. God will not go back on His promises. He is faithful to the end. Are we called to be like Him? If we are, then we must be loyal. We shouldn't make a promise to God and not keep it. We shouldn't make a vow and not mean it. Loyalty seeks to honor God. Loyalty puts value in the relationship. But at the end of the day, you know what loyalty does? It rewards. You see why? Because God honors faithfulness. We see that in Ruth's life. Even in the worst of times, God was at work. Because God knows all things. He sees all things. He hears all things, right? God knows. He's always present. He's all-knowing. God sees the future. God sees the end from the beginning. So today, when I choose loyalty, I'm going to remain faithful to God and His calling for my life, no matter how difficult the journey. That's what I'm saying. The God who saw Ruth through will see us through as well. When I look at the lives of Job, Abraham, Joseph, David, and Daniel, I mentioned them earlier, you know what God did for their loyalty, their devotion to Him? He rewarded them. They were delivered from danger. They were promoted and ended up more blessed than when they started off. They were loyal to God and His cause. And God rewarded them for their faithfulness. Question I have for you as we get ready to close. Can we be loyal to God even when things aren't going well in our lives? I guess that's the million-dollar question. As long as things are going great, I'm there for you, God. But when I reflect on Ruth's life, she was loyal even in the difficult times. Times were not easy. They were hungry. They didn't have any money. They didn't have anyone to provide for them. They didn't have a husband. And she said, "No matter what, Naomi, I'm going to be there with you." Being loyal is part of what being a follower of Christ is all about. So you know what we need to do, starting today, starting right now, starting this moment? We need to show Christ's character by being loyal in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, and in our ministries. We need to stay faithful to God's calling in our lives. We need to stay faithful in doing that which is good, that which is right, that which is godly. You know, I started out this lesson by talking about just a couple folks that no matter what, I can depend. I know they're going to be rocks, right? I want to be that rock. I want you to be that rock. Our God desires us to be that faithful, to be that loyal. No matter what, He's got to come first. Today, can I make the same statement that Ruth did? Can I make that same statement as if God were standing here? Today, if the answer is yes, then I would encourage you to keep on being loyal. But if the answer is no, I would encourage you to make a change. You can make that change right here in your seat. You can make that change by walking this aisle. Or you can make that change by being immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins. God is loyal. Will we be loyal to Him? Let's answer the question right now as together we stand and sing.